You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Everyone, Frank Van Bree sitting in for Larry Connors today. Larry is off on assignment. Do you want to know what his assignment is? He actually told me I could tell you. Larry is off trying to win $120,000 at a poker table. That's right. He is a poker maverick. I was with him about a week ago, having a few drinks, and we talked about poker, and boy, did we talk about poker. I didn't know there was so much about poker. But I was watching him carefully, and whenever I do have to play poker against him, I'm ready. I know all his mannerisms. I know what he does. I know how he thinks. You're in trouble, Larry. All right, well, so here we are, 2 hours with Frank Van Bree sitting in for Larry Connors today. I do enjoy... having the ability to do this for him, give him a break every once in a while. So what I wanted to talk about first here in this opening monologue was, is the Democratic Party in America a socialist party? Is it socialist, or is it the Democratic Party we know of old, you know, the old Mayor Daley party in Chicago, Illinois, that I grew up under? I was sitting in a theater. It must have been in the second part of the Obama the second 4 years of the Obama administration, and I was watching The Sound of Music. We all know The Sound of Music, right? And the hills are alive, and you know they're trying to get out of there, and they're doing a long farewell of Evita Zane, and they keep sneaking off the stage, and then ultimately they flee through the hills. When that song was going on, I had the queasiest, weirdest feeling, and I wasn't trying to. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even that politically active at the time. I was doing something that had nothing to do with politics whatsoever, and I felt odd. I felt concerned. I felt, this is like hitting close to home. Why would that be? This is ridiculous. This is America. That can't be. It just was a thought I had. Had to say it, had to bring it up. Then think back, all of us. Let's think back to 2016, that moment when Hillary realized that she did not win. That was a shocking moment. Everyone, you could just see it in their face. There was utter panic. There were tears. I watched many, many people crying bitterly. And it was completely unbelievable. Literally, it was deeply, deeply personal for many, many, many Democrats. Many. And immediately, though, what happened? Hillary and her group, her comrades, whatever you want to call them, began the resistance movement. Immediately, at all costs, we must resist. And boy, did they. They blocked President Trump at every turn. Think of it. Just think back. Daily talking points were sent out to the mainstream media, or the drive-bys, as Rush used to call them. And when you would turn to stations, you'd hear the same thing from every anchor and reporter. Sometimes people would put together montages, and it was amazing. Remember the fact checkers. There were tons of fact checkers hired to dispel almost everything the Trump administration said or did. It was an onslaught against the Republican Party. I don't think I've heard a fact checker since the Biden administration. I may be wrong. I could be wrong, but I've not heard one. It's just gone. The only place where a lot of this doesn't seem to be occurring would be Fox News back then. Back then it was Fox News. And so it became a huge target as well. Always talking back and forth. So our country has become divided. Tremendous division creeped in. If the idea is, should the government control everything or should individual liberty be the method of governance, then let's look at a few things that the current administration has in place. I have a little list here. We may not get to it before the end of the monologue, but I'm going to bring it back right at the beginning of the next break. So, as Larry always says, lock and load, ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I've been holding it so long, I've been sleeping all alone, Lord, I miss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I had forgotten about that lion, Quentin. That caught me off guard again. Scares me to death. Oh, my goodness. So let's see. Where was I when I was so rudely interrupted by that obscene prophet? Timeout. Do you hear Larry doing all those commercials for all those people, John Beal Roofing and this and that? And that he's just putting money in his pocket. He's putting money in his pocket so he can go play poker. He can put it down on the poker table. That's what's going on here. Anyway, where was I? I was saying if the idea is that the government should control everything, okay, or should individual liberty be the deciding or main method of how we are governed, I want to take a look at a few things the current administration has in place so that we can maybe see. I just found this little list and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to read this little list. We have right now government spending at an all-time high. Not that it isn't high when the Republicans are in. I have plenty of trouble with that as well. I am a conservative. But right now, it certainly is runaway government spending and higher taxes and, you know, trying to put this $3 trillion spending bill through. So that's one thing. Next, high inflation. Inflation rates are about ready to explode throughout most of our economy. We already know there are certain telltale signs. There's lumber, which I can't even – I've got a deck that I need to fix, and now I can't fix my darn deck because the lumber is too expensive, so I've got to wait a little while. And bacon, my God, bacon. It's very expensive at the moment. Anyway, the grocery – so food prices. How about energy policies that lead to higher costs at the gas tank? Last time I sat in for Larry, I was saying, you know, it cost me like $22-23 to fill my tank one of my cars. And now that very same car is up at $45, $46, $47, depending. That's doubled the price of gas. We closed the pipeline. Okay. Foolhardy illegal immigration policies that allow – I say foolhardy because it allows criminals and drugs and young girls to be trafficked. That's foolhardy. I don't like that at all. It's terrible that they're able to somehow pull that off. Immigration policies are designed to encourage a permanent Democrat socialist party of the poor. Is that true? I don't know. They come poor and then they are put up in hotels at times and then put into buses and then moved all over the country to different places. I don't know if there's benefits there, but there must be some sort of welfare and they're taken care of in those new places. Election policies that enable the ease of voter theft and voter fraud. We saw that. Is it how bad is it? I don't know. Everybody says, oh, yeah, well, there was a little there and a little there, but it did not influence the outcome of the election. OK, maybe it didn't. I don't know. But at any rate, they're fighting like crazy now against what's going on in Georgia and Arkansas and some of these places. And to my best understanding, all it is saying, hey, let's make sure it's you when you vote. Just make sure it's you. Do you have an ID? Can we see an ID? Can you prove it's you? And if you're going to do it through the mail, I guess I got ways to do that as well. I don't see what the big deal is unless maybe there's something else going on. So that's what I'm trying to get. And then think about paying Americans to not work. That is happening in my own family. What are you doing? I said. To which the response was, well, I'm kind of letting the government take care of me. And I said, how long are you going to do that? Well, as long as they keep paying me, it's great. Like, okay, so it's in my own family. I at least have one example of it in my own family. So what the heck is going on here? If you thought about this for a little bit, would you say that we are in a vibrant individual liberty, freedom that our forefathers fought and won for us back in the day and all that sort of a thing? Or are we maybe more in a little bit, the government is kind of controlling many, many, many things, and we are now, it's designed so that we fall in line and we be either told what to do, depends on, I guess, your idea of what freedom is. You're either told what to do or you're very happy to do things because now I'm cared for. I'm cared for. I don't have to stress as much. And I kind of get that too. You know, I'm the one that always says, I've said this to many of my friends. I don't know why I'm saying it now, but do you know those big banana strollers that you can push down the street? You know, and they got the big wheels and then the one wheel in the middle, and the mom or the dad is pushing the thing down and the little baby is all, you know, in the blanket and looking up at the stars and sucking their thumb. Quentin keeps saying, stay on the mic, Frank, stay on the mic. Sorry, Quentin. All right. So, you know, I love that. I love that idea. I want to stay there. I want to be cared for. I love it. But is that what we should be having in the country? Is that going to make us a vibrant America? Are we doing what the creator said? Are we, you remember the guy with 10 talents and he went out and, or 5 talents and he made 10, and the guy with, or maybe it was 10 talents, he made 20, and the guy with 5 talents made 10, and the guy with the 1 talent kind of hit it, Well, that's to me more kind of what we're doing if I'm going to be in the little banana stroller. I'm hiding my little talent. And I'm not really putting it to work in the U.S. economy like I could. And if the government allows this, then I'm beginning to think that might be socialist. I'm thinking. I don't know. So we're going to have a guest on in the next segment. You're going to love this guy. He's kind of a soothsayer. He's made a lot of predictions. He's a doctor. That's good. Not a medical. That means he's really smart. He's written 6 books. I'll stop there because we're going to have him on in the next segment. So you want to hear this. But I am going to hit him up with a whole bunch of these kinds of questions about socialism, about our government, and that sort of a thing. Gerard, tell me, if you would, since I'm a mere novice, how much time do we have left in this segment? Oh, we could do. Why don't we go to the skills gap? Is that all right? I've got a little clip here to play, and then we can chat about it a little.
I don't know if I would call it a shortage per se. I would say there's a skills gap. What I hear all the time is from companies, we are ready to hire, but people need to have the skills. They need digital skills, cybersecurity skills, data skills, cloud computing skills.
So you know who that was? That was our labor secretary, Gina Raimondo, or commerce secretary. And she talked about the skills gap, right? We've got a skills gap. We need all this sort of thing. You know what question she was answering? They said, hey, what are we doing about all the quick serve restaurant, the fast food restaurants and retail people and all these small mid-sized little businesses with retail outlets that can't seem to get enough workers to actually manage the shelves, manage the front counter to cook the hamburgers, et cetera, et cetera. And she answers it with, we've got a skills gap and that's the problem. Well, that's I could tell that she didn't answer the question. I could tell that. So I think to myself, do they know what they're doing or is this all intentional? Let's see what Steve Moore, he was an economist under President Trump. Let's see what he thinks about it.
In terms of that skill gap issue, it is true that some of these, positions, we need better skills of workers. But we're talking about the construction industry, manufacturing industry, restaurants, nursing homes, hospitals. Though the employers will provide the job training for these workers if they'll come back to the jobs. But in those blue states with that $300 a week increased unemployment benefits, they're not getting off the couch. It's just the evidence is very clear. The red states are not having the problems the blue states are.
Okay. All right. Well, he threw the red state, blue state thing in there, but I want to go back to where he said, they're not getting off the couch. Remember, I know people like this. Do you? Do you know people that are just on the couch? Because they're making enough. They're making enough and they don't have to really worry about it. I remember one person said to me, well, I got to fake it a little bit. I got to make the government think I got to show them I'm doing a little bit of something. And I thought, okay, well. And is the government really making sure you do a little something? I don't know. Because does it play into a greater goal? See, this is the thing I always say. President Biden, Kamala Harris, all the people, Jen Psaki, these are not dumb people. These are very intelligent people. They're very smart. They know what they're doing, I think. At least I want to give them the benefit of that doubt. And if that's true, then I'm angry with them. I'm angry. Roar! There's that lion. Let's hear Steve Moore one more time.
I think the president and the vice president and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer just have to get out and talk to small business owners. And they will find that they can't get the workers back, Robert, that used to be working for them. They won't come back. And when I talk to small business owners, they say the reason the workers say they're not coming back is because they're getting all this unemployment benefit bonus money. They're getting food stamps. They're getting, the $300 a week per child benefits. These benefits are providing more money to the workers for staying on the sideline than going back on the job, Robert. That's just a dumb policy.
Yeah. So think about this. When I used to run the McDonald's restaurant promotion and marketing back in the 90s, that was back when Big Mac Land came into the Cardinal Stadium and all that sort of thing in St. Louis. If you ever go around ballparks around the nation in St. Louis, there's a Big Mac Land. Well, that was a direct result of what we were doing with the McDonald's account working with the Cardinals. But here's the interesting thing. Do you know what an average check was? An average check. That means when Quentin goes into McDonald's and gets his little Happy Meal and his little toy, he gets his little Cinderella toy. And when he gets that, the average check at McDonald's per a visit was about $5.50 to $6, $5.50 to $6. So if you had a $10 bill, two of you could almost eat. You could. You really could. Now, what was the bill the last time you went and just got a Big Mac, fries, and a Coke? What was it? It's for, oh, you know, Quentin. Don't tell me you don't go to McDonald's. It's over 10 bucks, folks. It's over 10 bucks. I mean, sure, if you skinny down and all that stuff and just don't put any ketchup on it. No, the fact is average checks in the QSR industry right now are pacing around $11 or $12. You know why? Because the minimum wage is going up because they're paying workers more. So what it does is it just gets passed along to us. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Now, back in the day, we all know that those jobs were training grounds for folks to, learn skills, learn how to try to come to work on time, be there every day, fulfill some responsibilities that you were given by your employer. I mean, that made sense. So, but now those might be an actual living for someone now. It's not the way it used to be. And so we've got to get that up so that there can be a living wage, which means we're going to be paying over 10 bucks for our hamburgers. That's just the way it's going to be. I've got so many. Quentin, I have a whole bunch more clips and everything, but now you started that silly music, which means you know who's coming on? Yes, the doctor, the good doctor, Dr. Lamero. Oh, we have one more? Oh, I have to keep talking then. All right, you're going to get me again. You're going to get me again. See you in a minute. Bye.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
One, two, three, they're going to run back to me. They always want to come, but they never want to leave.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And we are back. What was I? Oh, yeah. I thought we were having Dr. Lamero now, but we're not. We have more of Frank to speak about. But I had a little text exchange with Larry over the break. And I said, hey, man, how you doing? And he goes, I'm doing good. He said, good start. And I said, hey, thanks. Appreciate it. You better be winning the $120,000. Do you know what he texted back? Trying. I'm trying. You don't try. You do. He's never going to let me get back on this air. I know it. But that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to upset him. Anyway, freedom. I wanted to talk just a little bit about freedom because that's what the people in Cuba are interested in, as we all know, and it'll be a nice setup for Dr. Lamero when we have him in the next segment. Freedom, 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 freedom. So let's go back just a little bit. I mean, there's political freedom. There's all these kinds of different freedom, or you can use the word in a million different ways. But I like to kind of peel it back, and it helps me to understand what is the concept of freedom. And I've done a lot of thinking about this, so I don't even have any notes. I'm just going to kind of go on what I think about when I think about freedom. Freedom to me, see if you know you can disagree, but freedom to me is what are you going to choose to be a slave to, if I can use the word slave. Anyway, what are you going to do that's going to make you, that's going to own you, in a sense, your actions? And you say, wait a minute, that's not freedom. Freedom doesn't put me in handcuffs. Freedom doesn't put me in behind bars. I'm free. Well, let me ask you this. Are you free, Quentin, are you free to fall up? Of course not. Quentin, actually, he kind of looked up and thought, well, wait a minute. I should be free. If I choose to fall up, I can fall up if I want to. Quentin, are you, Quentin, I'll leave you alone. Are you, listening audience, are you free to drive on the wrong side of the road? Are you free to drive into oncoming traffic? Yeah. Yeah, I suppose you could. You can't fall up. That's one you aren't free to do because the law, the law of gravity keeps you on terra firma. But you are, I guess you're free to go drive in the wrong lane. What'll happen? Not good stuff. Not for you and perhaps not for others. Are you free to use any kind of squiggle from your pen that you want to? Any kind of squiggle. Just make any old squiggles and put a whole bunch of squiggles together and you'll communicate. Are you free? Or do you have to do what we all learned in the second grade? Let's make a little small A. Now let's make a big capital A. And we did that 26 times because it freed us to communicate. So through freedom, through law, actually, the law of the alphabet, the law of traffic, the law of gravity, in those three instances, we are free because we have submitted to the law. How's that for a paradox? All right, Dr. Lomero coming up. Now he can coming up, right? Right? You better get him on the phone, Quentin. All right.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website. Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
Well, I started out with $1 lone dollar, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, I have a good little quote here for you. This is from an individual that I'm going to introduce in just a minute. I am so excited about this fellow. I've heard of him many, many times, and the fact that I, Frank Van Brie, get to interview him and talk with him is going to be incredible. But here's the little quote. The Democratic Party, it's not the party of working class Americans and the poor. It's the party of the rich and the elite. Now, isn't that interesting? Because didn't we grow up, at least I did, I'm in my 50s, didn't we grow up thinking it was the reverse? I did, but recently, without seeing Dr. Lomero's quote here, I've been thinking the same darn thing. So let me bring on this wonderful doctor, an author, a political analyst, an expert on forecast models, 6 books to his credit. And we could keep going and going, but hopefully if we do the interview well, all this will come out. Dr. Lomero, how are you, sir? And thanks for being on Larry Connors USA.
Oh, I'm doing great. It's great to be back on in St. Louis on Larry's show. I love being on his show, and I love talking to you for the first time.
First time ever. I hear you all the time with him. Well, I hear you all over the place. It's so neat to have you here. Can I ask a crazy question?
Sure. The crazier, the better.
All right. This one. All right. Here we go. Who is running America right now?
My best guess, Barack Obama and Susan Rice. That's my best guess.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Somebody has to be, because Joe has his little note cards, and I don't think it's Jen Psaki that's writing out the little note cards for him.
No, I think she's after the fact. I think she talks to the press after he said things and tries to kind of smooth things over when he flubs a lot of stuff. He's flubbing things. He's not very articulate these days. I think he's having problems with his memory or something.
Yeah. And boy, I don't wish that. I mean, I've had family members that have gone. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I always give him a pass, because my head, and you haven't been listening to me for the last 40 minutes on the air here, but I've been basically saying, I talked about when I was watching The Sound of Music a few years back, second term of the Obama administration, and when they were singing So Long Farewell of Evita Zane, and they were leaving the stage to go to freedom, I thought, oh my God, I feel like this could be real in this country. And I have no idea why I thought that. Had no idea. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. I can still remember it very well. And so what I'm wondering, you, I think you go as far as to say the Democrat Party today is a socialist party.
It is. They haven't changed the name yet, but I think that's coming. I mean, let's face it, a large percentage of the folks basically are articulating socialist policies. A lot of them are saying, I'm Democrat socialist. And they're trying to say it like it's something good. You know, Hugo Chavez, back in 1998, ran as a Democrat socialist. Same thing as Bernie Sanders, but back in Venezuela. And at that time, Venezuela was the number one economy, the best economy in South America, because it was oil rich. Hugo Chavez won. He socialized. He did exactly what he said. He's a Democrat socialist. He converted it to socialism. He drove industry after industry into the ground. And now the people have to eat dog food and eat out of garbage bins. They don't have medicine. They don't have anything. They can't get out of the country fast enough. Socialism has always failed. That's what my new book, Real World Socialism, that came out last year, said. It gave example after example after example. Socialism always fails in theory and in practice. It leads to economic bankruptcy. It also leads to a moral collapse of the country, because the only way to get anything done is basically illegally. because they don't follow the rule of law.
It's whatever you want it to be. I keep hearing this, my truth. It's my truth. Yeah, I was talking about the fundamentals of freedom right before you got on the air, and freedom is really about what aligning yourself with how you are made. In other words, you're going to be owned by something. You aren't. I said you aren't free to fall up. That's you're owned by gravity. You're not free to fall up. You're not free to write 26 squiggles any which way you want and tell people that they can think they can communicate with you. No, you do it like you learned in the second grade, A, B, with a little dotted line in the middle. You gave into the law of reading and writing and arithmetic. So you're not free if free means I do anything I want, all gloves off. So how do we align? And that, I guess that's where the founding fathers said virtue. Virtue is the freedom that we need to embrace, because if we can live virtuous lives, then we can have a democracy. And what do you see, doctor, with the I don't know, is there an eroding of virtue? Is it being redefined?
Well, it's not being redefined. Virtue stays the same. What's being redefined is our values and what we do and how we live our lives. And it's all being influenced by socialism, as it has in other countries. I have studied socialism at a level and in depth that most people don't take the time to do. I've traced it back to its origins. I have looked at, you know, pre-socialist type systems, and it's amazing how they corrupt institution after institution wherever they go. They have corrupted the media. They have corrupted the Department of Justice. They've corrupted the IRS. They've corrupted Washington. They've corrupted Hollywood. They've corrupted now the big tech media, the big tech elite, you know, the Facebooks and those kind of people. That's how they work, and they work that way because they don't believe in morality. They believe in their own morality, and it all goes back to their what Friedrich Hayek said. He was a great philosopher in the 20th century. Their fatal conceit. He wrote a book, Fatal Conceit. Very hard to read the book, but very true. And it has to do with the fact that they have this conceit that they know it all. They know it better than anybody else. And really, they're substituting themselves for God. I mean, Christian values, which founded our country, we believe in a creator, that the creator gave us freedom, gave us the right to pursue happiness, gave us the choice to choose God or not to choose God. They throw that out the window. They're anti-Christian. They're anti-Jewish, which is surprising because a lot of them were Jewish when they started. They're anti that. They're anti-family. They're anti-gender. They don't even accept biology. They've got 57 in some places different genders. Now, is that absurd? I mean, don't most of us figure there's like men and women, and they're different, and we know how they're different, and they actually work together pretty well when they work together.
Yeah.
And they
one's on Mars, one's on Venus, but they work together.
That's right. That's exactly right. But all of that is in antithesis, the opposite of socialism. Socialism is trying to replace religion with their religion, where they're the gods. And what they're promising people is utopia. You know, they'll give you free lunches, they'll give you free college, they'll give you free salary. You don't have to work. They'll give you a guaranteed income, free health care, you name it. They're trying to promise heaven on earth. They're basically trying to say that they're God and that they replace God. And I'll tell you, my book goes into a lot of detail. Another book I really recommend that I wrote, which
yes.
also goes into a lot of detail, is Renewing Americans' Heritage of Freedom. I go through the theology as well as the practical parts of what freedom is all about, and it follows on to basically what you were saying in the previous hour.
Interesting. I had 17 questions as you were going through there. Now I can't remember any of them. No,
well,
so,
that's okay. Pick any one of them.
So that's the idea. That's exactly what I have felt. You feel that you are God. I have felt that many, many times.
I don't feel that way. But
no, I don't. I don't. I'm scared of God because I'm kind of a dirt ball. Anyway, no, I'm teasing. But the thing is the idea that I don't even know how to ask this. Do they have a conscience? Do they understand what they are doing? Do they think, I know I'm being bad, but I'm going to be bad? Or do they think they're really doing good? They're doing great things for people.
Well, believe it or not, I answer that in a different book.
Go ahead and say that one, too.
All six of my books. And by the way, I'm writing number 7 right now called Real World Freedom.
Freedom. Freedom.
Yeah. But to answer your question, there are actually a variety of reasons why people buy into Marxism. Some people want the power. Some people, they think they're doing good. You know, they've talked themselves into, oh, well, we're giving the poor this and that. But what they're doing is they're robbing them of dignity. They're not allowing them to, you know, for example, if they give them a guaranteed income, a lot of people are just sitting around. They don't do anything. They get depressed. Suicides go up in socialist countries. You know why?
No.
Because people are basically morally driven into the ground. And there are a variety of reasons. Some of them think, you know, there's such a thing as a free lunch that you can tax all the wealthy and pay everybody something, but you can't. It turns out if you tax all the really, truly rich people in America today, you could take all their income for a year, and it would be used up maybe in 6 months. It would be totally gone because producing income. You got to have people who produce money.
Producers.
People who consume it.
Dr. Lamero, we have 30 seconds left. Now, I know this upsets Quentin if I ever ask anybody to stay over, and I want to make sure that if you need to go, you can go. But boy, I'd love it if you'd spend 5 more minutes with us on the other side of the break.
Oh,
what say you?
I'd be happy to.
Good, because I have a very important question to ask you.
Okay,
You're the man. Thank you, sir. See you in a second.
My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Towning Country, and now the streets of St. Charles, Cafe Napoli.
I'm ready for it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I am on with Dr. Gerard Lamiro. And Dr. Lamiro, thank you for agreeing to stay over. You're very kind to do that. And what I want to make sure we do, we can end by talking about important stuff, but let's talk about even more important stuff. Let's talk about your upcoming book. Tell me just a little bit about it so that we can make sure that people know how to read what we are talking about.
Sure. Well, the upcoming book I'm working on now is called Real World Freedom, and it's really put out, or hopefully will be put out next January, to talk about the differences between a world with freedom and a world with socialism. I wrote the book all about socialism. It tells you all the problems. It gives you the ammunition to fight or debate anybody on the topic of socialism and why it's not good. The new book is all about freedom. What does it take to really be a free country? One thing it takes, I'll tell you, a big part of the book is freedom of speech. When you suppress people's freedom of speech, that is one of the biggest ways you're suppressing their freedom. But there are other ways, too. Freedom of association. There's religious freedom. The people who are saying that a little girl who's in sixth grade can't wear a cross necklace to school because that violates church and state. What is that? That's baloney. And on and on. So this book is all about freedom and what it takes to be a free nation and how wonderful it is to live in a free nation. And that's where we got, that's how we got to where we are today, the richest, most generous. We have used our wealth really well because we were free to create the wealth, and then we spent it, and we also were very generous with it. When a country gets in trouble, who do they come to for help? They come to us, and the American people are glad to help them out.
Well, that's what I've noticed. I've noticed that everybody wants to come here, it seems. Still. Maybe not in 10 years if this keeps going, but still they want to come. And I've always thought it the same, the analogy was, if you want to come to my house, then treat my house with respect. Don't just take your shoes off and throw them around muddy all over the place, and don't just slop all over the couches and leave the kitchen a mess. Keep it clean, because that's what, and that's a bad word, isn't it? Because that word is assimilation, and nobody wants to assimilate, because you're giving up what? Your freedom? I guess in some sort of convoluted way, huh?
Right. And by the way, let me point out a real hypocrisy of the left. Right now, Biden and everybody is trying to twist everybody's arm, even kids who shouldn't get vaccines, to get a vaccine. Yet at the same time, they allow 100,000 people in across the border every month or whatever it is. And they don't test them. And if they do test them and they have COVID, they let them in anyway and they send them to cities. So if this is such a terrible disease, why are they letting people in without testing and without preventing them from spreading it? It's really absurd.
Which makes me think there's an ulterior motive, which I think
there is.
And which is what we're talking about. We want to go socialist.
That's right.
Tell me what's going to – here's the most important thing. You are a Nostradamus of sorts.
People call me that. That's interesting.
I know. Well, because you know what it is. It's because you're so deeply into all of the depth of issues. It's easier for you to see. You have better vision. What's going to happen in the 2022? And if you want to extrapolate a little further, what's going to happen in the 24?
Well, right now the forecast is pretty simple, pretty straightforward. In the House, we're going to get 10 more conservative Republicans. Republicans will retake the House in 2022. Much to Pelosi's chagrin. And in the Senate, we're going to pick up two seats. When I say we, I'm talking about conservative Republicans, not rhinos. They're on the way out. They need to know that. And then in 2024, there's a high probability, 75%, Trump will run and win.
Wow. All right. That's pretty succinct. You didn't,
yep.
you didn't beat around the bush at all.
Not at all.
No. Well, that's interesting. That's good. Do you, here's another controversial question. We have about a minute and a half left, by the way. Do you believe that the election was stolen?
Absolutely. And the reason I know that is a couple. One is I forecast the election in 2020, as I do with other elections, and I really had Trump winning, and by winning with certain numbers, and I expected, those numbers were really, it looks like, tampered with in different ways. I'll give you one example of many examples. There's a lot of forensic evidence that says it was stolen, and of course they try to suppress that. In the state of Arizona, what they do there is when you ask for a absentee ballot, they write you down on a list. When the ballot comes back, what do? They check it off, and they try to check off every one they sent out, right? Makes
mm-hmm.
sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were 74,000 ballots that were never listed as being sent out that showed up.
Mm.
Those 74,000 ballots appear to have been stolen votes, or people manufactured them, or they got copies of whatever they did to get them. They turned them in. That would have been enough to turn the election to Trump right there.
Right
in
there,
Arizona.
Yeah. Well, you hear the dreaded music. It gets us every time. But
yeah.
Dr. Lamero, thank you very much, and I hope your books sell everywhere.
Well, thank you. It was great talking to you. You did a fantastic job.
You're the best. You take care. Bye-bye.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.